Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about exploring new possibilities, new ways of transformation, how we are changing both spiritually, mentally, and physically. And that's why tonight's guest is so important, because he has a way of approaching the American diet that is about transformation. Actually, he'll be doing an event in New York City this coming Thursday, September 11th, about transforming the American diet. I'm talking to Brian Clement. Welcome, Brian.
Hello, how's everyone?
Everyone's great. Brian is also the director of the Hippocrates Institute in West Palm Beach, Florida, where you can go and have a beautiful retreat and time of cleansing the body. So, Brian, why are you coming out now? You've been doing this for a long time, and now do you feel like there's an urgent need to talk to the American public?
Well, there is. I mean, if you are a little awake, you start to see that all of the institutions that we were taught by and convinced to believe in have crumbled around us. And it's getting worse. I mean, the whole nation of the United States was developed around freedom, and that has gone away. That the new government we have is corporatism. It has absolutely nothing anymore to do with a democracy. And the people's vote doesn't matter. Corporate interest does. And your Supreme Court has pretty much led us into a very frightening time where they've now abolished any ceilings on money. And so the people with the largest money get the largest, not the largest, but get their candidate. And they're elected 87% of the time. And no matter what we say, after Hiroshima, we would think that some common sense, like you saw in Germany, would occur, where we say no more nuclear plants, but that didn't happen. After the Gulf, we contaminated it permanently for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years, and fish are mutated, and of course they do delightful BP ads on TV to convince you how wonderful they are, and we've destroyed that environment. That the former Surgeon General of the United States and head of the FDA both told me separately that every major food corporation on the planet Earth that are now multinational intentionally put synthetic opiates in the food so that you and your loved ones and everyone you know get permanently addicted to fast food and cookies and potato chips, et cetera. So we're in a dire time, and we're also at a time of transformation. As things change, as things go down, you know, we could almost picture this being Rome or Egypt, you know, at that pinnacle point where these great empires have fallen. Opportunity comes. And are we going to be prepared as individuals and as citizens of this nation to take the mantle and to change it and to make it better? You know, we all have that opportunity. You know, I've had a great blessing in my life for 43 years now, working in the field of complementary health care. And as you may know, but many of the listeners may not, the institute I've been directing since 1980 is internationally renowned for people coming to us and reversing stage 4 diseases, notably cancers, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, and the list goes on. Now, we don't have magic or secrets or sales pitches I'm giving you. The way that we have been able to achieve that is to put people's lives back into their own hands and to give them the love and support and courage to heal themselves. And that is an emotional and a spiritual transformation. And yes, diet, as you mentioned, is part of that. And we now know in the field of legitimate quantum biology that the diet that we're all meant to be on is a diet that taps into the universal frequencies that govern all, not only of this universe, but the multiple universes. And we know that the food that we should be eating is living and plant-based. Now, we have proven that for 60 years with hundreds of thousands of people in medical clinical research at Hippocrates. Because when you take people who are broken and frail on a physiological basis, it's much easier to evaluate quantitatively what's going on with them than it is to look at a spiritual or an emotional state, which is still subjective. Let's be candid about that. And when we put these living foods, and that's what we've been doing since the 1950s, plant-based, raw, living food that's organic, the frequencies haven't been thrown off by pesticides, fungicides, herbicides. We actually see that that re-engages the frequency, the hertz of the cells. Now, human cells are meant to, when they're healthy, function at 75 hertz. When you have something like cancer, a severe cancer, you may have 5 or 10 hertz operating. And really, death comes because the bulb burns out. You know, the light fader goes down. And it's really the life force or the energy force within a person that not only governs the biology is sort of the example of what's happening, but it's the fading of the emotional and spiritual state. Most of us don't realize that the word spiritual comes from the word spirit. And when you think about the word spirit, a spirited person, you can almost instantly manifest a picture of what that person is. Enthusiastic, happy, kind, somebody you want to be around. And that's really who we all are. And our real mission here is to acquire and to give love. And we will come back to that with the state of affairs the way it is, you know, the latest terrorist group and the Russians taking over places and Israel in turmoil again and murders on the street by the dozens in Chicago. But at the end of the day, the light is coming back because nature will create homeostasis. And this frequency that I speak about is the science of now and the future. We are leaving the period of biology and going into the period of quantum physics. It's taken a century to get to this point, and there's very few good scientists on board, but they're coming on board by the dozens every day. Because if you work in the field that I do of healthcare and medicine, the utter failure in that is frightening. To give one example to you.
Go ahead, give me an example, and then I have a question. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll let you have it. You can be going now.
No, I enjoy listening to it because it makes sense, but go ahead, give me an example.
Okay, over the last 5.5 to 6 years, I've traveled to many countries, but in 29 of the countries, I've lectured to 250,000 people. I've asked this one question. How many of you in this room, and sometimes there's 1,000 people in the room, how many of you in this room feel safe for you or a loved one to be in a hospital? Do you realize that out of 250,000 people, in 5.5 years, in 29 countries, I haven't had one person raise their hand. Now, you would imagine if things were the way they should be, the safest place on the planet Earth wouldn't be your home. It would be a hospital.
But you know the second largest cause of death is hospital and doctor-related incidences?
We can't go to the old school, and we can't be angry at the doctor. You know, they're victims, too. And we can't be angry. You know, what we have to do is get rid of the anger and just turn up that love vibration. And when you do that, all of these things start to improve. And when I see people recover from brain cancer, liver cancer, pancreatic cancer, bone cancer, and cancer in 3 organs, they turn up the love.
Okay, so you're talking, I mean, yes, you're talking on a spiritual level. You're talking about this brainwashing, this corporate controlled way that we've literally and figuratively been force-fed. We've been force-fed these toxins, these non-living substances to feed our bodies and deteriorate the health. And then we've been robbed of our spiritual life force. So there's many levels on which we've been, in a sense, knocked unconscious and out of touch with spirit. So what's the approach? I mean, how do we get back to all the things you're talking about?
It's a pretty easy change. Just like your clicker on the TV, and I see it. Often I'm engaged with a person on a Monday morning that on Thursday went to a doctor in the New York City area and was told that they have a catastrophic disease and they're going to die. They pick up the phone on Friday and come to Hippocrates on Sunday. And I'm sitting there 6 days, 5 days after they've been told they're going to die. Now, can you imagine, number one, that there's anyone on the planet that is that arrogant, that thinks when they don't know what to do, the best thing to do is to tell the person they're addressing they're going to die. It happens.
That's Western medicine.
It's beyond that. It's insanity. That's what it is. Yeah. So I'm sitting there with these people. Now, let me tell you that they have every reason in the world, because they've been indoctrinated from the time they were in the womb, to believe what was just told to them. And they have a lot more reasons because they've seen their mother or father or grandparents or guy across the street or best friend die of these diseases that are a plague today. You know, nobody's
and
talking
the experts,
about
experts, the people we put up as the experts on our healthcare, who are telling us this. Where else are we supposed to go if that's all
right.
we know?
Well, you're supposed to go to yourself, and that's what we're going to talk about in New York City on 9/11. You're going to go back to yourself because you have all of the answers, and you have all of the wisdom, and you have the power, and nobody can heal you, and I can heal you, and you can heal yourself. And so I see this guy who was told 4 days earlier, 5 days earlier, he was going to die, completely, absolutely decide he's not going to die within a 24 to 48-hour period. They go through this 21-day process for us where we de-escalate the ignorance that had been impounded in their brains, and then they go home and they heal. And the average time it takes for a person with a catastrophic disease to reverse their own disease, not be healed by magic and voodoo, but to heal themselves through common sense things that we talk about, diet, exercise, attitude. And we use lots of non-invasive technology that in civilized nations in the world they use, electromagnetic, cold laser, cyber scan, undermed. All of these things we've been using for decades. These are not new hip things that we're using because it's the latest thing you see on the internet. Because all of this comes back to one thing. It brings up the electromagnetic frequency, normalizing your normal health, your psychological, spiritual, and physiological health. So that's how you do it. You know, it's about reengaging with the idea that you know a lot more than you think you do. As a matter of fact, you know everything. There's nothing you don't know. You've just been told you don't know things so other people could take advantage of you and so-called teach you.
And also have you spend their money on their worthless products.
Money. I mean, psychology today is insane. You go to a guy who only wants to talk about the problem you're there for. You know, the best psychologists I've ever seen, they don't never talk about the problem to the people. They talk about what the people like. And guess what? Once you start to say to somebody, here's who you really are, this is what you like, before you know it, they change the channel. And that's who they are.
Right. So how do we get these people... I mean, most everyone who desperately needs to change their way of life, they're not even looking at you. The people that are coming to you are already aware that there's a problem, but there's millions, you know, the majority, 90% of the world has no idea. How do we get to those people?
Well, you know, in the years I've done this work, I recognize that we're about 12% of the global population now that's conscious. Mm-hmm. And for the people that know, and I didn't know this, I'm not a statistician and mathematician, that we need about 17.5% to 18% to flip things. Now, let me give you some perspective on this. If you had asked me this question in 2001, before 9/11, on September the 10th, I would have told you at that point there was about 6% of the population that was aware. And almost all of those people had traumas in their life. That something catastrophic happened, like they had a disease, they had an accident, loved ones walked out on them, you know, they lost their job, and they were forced into change. You know, they didn't just want to change, they were forced to it. And after 9/11, I started to see a major shift. As horrific, as horrible of an event as that was, and the indelible imprint that's put on the consciousness of Americans, it actually has now flowers growing out of it. And those flowers are that people started to question authority. People started to ask, are we here in the United States, number one, our shit doesn't smell, that we are the best in the world, that we're the strongest, we're the most powerful, and that everyone loves us. You know, that's what I was taught as a little boy. That's what I was taught. And I would
that's
like to have...
That's our brainwashing. That's our American patriotic conditioning.
It is.
Because that
now,
makes us
nothing wrong
fight
with patriotism.
For the country.
Yeah, nothing wrong with patriotism, but the reality is, you know, patriotic for the right reason, not for this insanity. And then I saw the shift happen. I'd say between 2001 and 2003, we added about 3% more. Now, it slowed down. And now, since 2003 to 2014, I'm estimating 2014, we're up to around 12 to 12.5%. Now, I see other events now occurring. You know, if people are doomsday people. If you don't have a life, if you're not happy, if you, you know, what you're doing is that you're actually drudging up pain and suffering. So these are the people watching Fox News and listening to the radio and reading the New York Times front page, how ISIS is going to come in and bomb us because they have 100 Americans. So what's happening to these people, they're imploding. That the very systems that they're frightened of are actually eating them, chewing them up, and spitting them out. Where there's another group of people, let's say, this is enough. Now, they're throwing their hands up, and they're going to say, the human condition isn't discord. The human condition isn't war and hatred and 9/11. The human condition is happiness and joy and sharing and love and family and security. And they are turning radically into the opposite direction. And it used to be people of my generation, you know, a percentage of us from the hippie generation that did this. Now I see people who were traditionally conservative doing this, people who were not, you know, flower children doing this. And so when you see this, this is an extremely healthy event. Now I predict, and I'm going to be very conservative on this, within this generation, within 25 years, and I would hope more, this is going to be sooner. I think it really may be 15 years, but 25 years, you're going to get that change to 18%. And what you and I know, what we talk about, what you're talking about on this station, what I talk about globally on my tours, is going to be mainstream. And we're going to go back to a time where we realize supporting ourselves give us the ability and the strength and the power to support others. And that copacetic hand-holding, where we all are really on the same plane, doing the same thing, the socioeconomics will start to fade. We no longer will have 1% of the population that's in total control and manipulating the rest of the population. That we're going to go back to somewhat of a homeostasis or normality within social norm. And I know this is going to happen because there's only one other option, death and dying. So this is why this is not a pie in the sky fanaticism or unwarranted optimism. The option is death, dying, and demise of the human race. So it will change.
You think this next generation is somehow clued more into this life force, this awareness, and it's going to start to take down the corporate structures, deactivate the GMOs, you know.
They're already doing it. They're already doing it. And you mentioned something I'll speak about. My children, I have four children and four grandchildren. I'm watching them. They don't watch mainstream news. If they do watch mainstream news, it's Jon Stewart. You know, that's 28% of the youth below 30 get their news from Jon Stewart, who, by the way, does a damn good job. He pretty much, with humor, opens up people's minds and says. And the other guy, who now, by the way, is going to be on mainstream TV, give me his name, he's going to be where Letterman was.
So you're seeing this
change. You're seeing this change.
Colbert?
Colbert is now going to be Letterman. He's going to be there. Now this is a shift. I watch my children. My children, this is how they get their information. The depth of knowledge they have. When they read, for instance, the New York Times, which is supposedly a good source of information, although they completely supported the Iraq war, you know, basically they don't just take it verbatim. They filter out through a process and say, you know, this is a mistake my dad's generation and my grandfather's generation made. We're not going to make that same mistake. And information, as Megatrends told us a long time ago in the 90s, is really the generation we're in at this point. And if you're not conscious, you're going to be freaked out by the bad information. If you're conscious, this is a heyday of consciousness. I mean, you know, you can get on a phone. You carry a device with you, basically. Any question you have in the world, now you can get that answer for it. And it's amazing. You know, I used to sit in libraries when I was writing my books 30 years ago for months. Now it takes me 1.5 to 2 weeks to do what it took me 3 or 4 months to do in a library just because of computers. Now, all of these things are really positive. Now, you said GMOs. I'll give you one example.
I want you to go into that because that is one of the serious threats to our health, I feel.
Well, one of my colleagues, let's give the audience an idea of what a GMO is. That's genetically modified organisms. Genetically modified organisms. Now, this is pretty much lock, stock, and barrel from the evil empire called Monsanto. I'll give you an example who these people are. They created something during the Vietnam War that people are still enduring and suffering from called Agent Orange. That's where they wanted to get the poor Vietnamese people to come out of their homes in the jungles. So they put an Agent Orange chemical on the jungles, and it knocked down the foliage. It killed all of the foliage so they could see the Vietnamese people so they could bomb them. Well, what happened is it bombed our boys from all over the world that were in there fighting that ungodly, quote, war that we started over there. And what happened is that we said, oh, this is horrible. It will never, it's giving cancer to people and mental illness to people. Well, you know, nobody stopped these bums. And what happened is they came back and they created a product called Roundup. And most of you out there listening have either used Roundup or eaten Roundup or walked on Roundup when you went out to walk your dog at night, because it's in everyone's lawns all over the world at this point. Well, that's not bad enough. So the craziness of the evil empire that wants to control all the food. Now, this is not a crazy guy talking. Check my facts. You'll never hear me in New York on 9/11 or anywhere on the planet Earth and on the Internet ever saying anything I can't support 100% with scientists and facts. What they did is they started to splice Roundup into different foods. Now, corn is an example, which all of you are eating unless you're on a 100% organic diet. And why? Because
why did they put Roundup into our food?
Why they put Roundup in the food is so they could basically manipulate, in this case, corn. 97% of all the corn growing here in North America now has Roundup spliced into it. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. 50% of the weight of Roundup corn or genetically modified corn, 50% of the weight is Roundup. Now, when they were doing the studies themselves, Monsanto was doing the studies. They literally said that in the animal studies, this was creating perforations in the intestinal tracts. There were two human studies that basically showed the same thing. Now, we never heard of anything called irritable bowel syndrome before. You notice that every third or fourth person you see have it? And why? Because even if you don't eat corn or corn chips, if you loathe them, you're probably getting lots and lots of high fructose corn syrup, which come from these genetically modified corn. So there's this wonderful man, a great American from the state of Connecticut, lives now out west, called Jeffrey Smith, who's an MBA, not a scientist, but was an American, a real patriot. Not one waving the flag and blowing farts, but a real patriot. And said, you know, they're going to destroy the health of the United States, the citizens here. So he started a campaign to let people know what's going on in our country. When he started, 5%, 4% of the country even knew about this. Highly educated Ivy League people who really didn't have a big interest in it. This man single-handedly, Jeffrey Smith, now have nearly 40% of Americans against genetically modified. He single-handedly has dozens of states now warranting laws, trying to get votes for laws that all food has to be marked as genetically modified. And I promise the tipping point's going to come. Within one decade, we are going to wipe out genetically modified foods here, as they have in most of Europe. They've never, ever let it in Europe there. And basically, we're going to say, you cannot feed our children, our friends, and our families, and everyone else in this country something that's causing deadly disease. So you can profit. So why they do it, to give you the answer, they do it so they can create a seed that never regrows seeds, so that you have to go back to the Monsanto company every year. How many of you know, listen closely, you're going to think this is really crazy. So check the facts. Check every fact. If you're sitting in asleep here in America, wake up. How many of you know that hundreds of thousands of Indian farmers have committed suicide because of what Monsanto did there? I didn't say hundreds. I didn't say 1,000. I said hundreds of thousands. The estimate between 200 and 250,000. Because these men and their families for millennia, thousands of years, have been nothing but farmers. And Monsanto went over there and said, you know, we can have these seeds and give them to you for free, and when you grow these seeds, you're going to get better crops. That's the first lie. Now, at the end of the year, these farmers for their whole life have harvested the seeds off their crop, but there were no seeds to harvest off the crop. So they basically said, how am I going to feed my family? And they said, well, you're not going to feed your family unless you come back and buy seeds. So this is how you have international corporate control from the evil empire of farming, and why major farms now are controlling all of the food globally, and they're going into these new countries like India, and you'll see soon in China, etc.
But you know, the biggest harm of GMO product is that we don't know how it changes the body. Our body, I mean, a natural substance is one thing, but when you have a man-made, manipulated, genetically modified organism that we are digesting, our bodies react to it, and I'm sure it creates more allergies, asthma. There's a lot of things that we can't digest with these foods.
We do know, you know, peripherally we understand, and there are good studies on it, mostly from Europe, mostly from Glasgow in Scotland. But let me give you some examples, and people are going to think we're exaggerating here too. How many of you know that fish is spliced into tomatoes and has been for 25 years? That the gene from a fish...
That's scary.
Okay. How many of you know that pork, if you've eaten pork at all, which is insane to begin with, that it has human genes spliced in it, that's for 30 years now. And so when you start to think about what I'm just saying to you, even if you don't believe what I'm saying, check it. You'll find it to be true. You'd say, why would anyone do that?
Yeah, why would someone put a fish gene in a tomato? Yeah.
Because they found that there's a way to stabilize and to create a longer shelf life from putting a fish gene into a tomato. And pork will get larger if you put a human gene inside of it. So the little swine will actually grow bigger with the human gene inside of it.
So talk about what that does to the body.
Well, what it does is the DNA and RNA, which is really your biological connection to the frequency that we spoke about that governs the universe, literally is now distorted. And we think that ongoing consumption of this over months and years, not 10 years, 20 years, but months and years, probably permanently destroyed the DNA and RNA structure of the body, morphing and mutating the potential for you to have a healthy second generation.
Right.
Now,
if you eat something without seeds, it's hard to produce your own seeds, yes.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what the Chinese say. The Chinese Taoists have said that. But, okay, so continue. Yeah, what else does GMO do?
Well, GMO basically is destroying all of the farmland in the world at this point, and it's going to wipe out organic food. So those of us, myself included, that buy organic food today, we're relatively safe, but cross-pollinization happens. So unless you had an encapsulated area growing inside organic food that the pollens can't get into in a greenhouse, that pollens blow. Wind blows, storms happen, pollens go. And here's a good example. Up in Canada, in Alberta, Canada, this goes back about 25, 30 years ago, there was a wonderful farmer who didn't make a lot of money but loved being a farmer. And he was growing corn up there. And at the end of the season, Monsanto came in to do a test case in the judicial system of Canada and sued him for using genetically modified seeds on his crop. He never bought it from Monsanto. They had no evidence that he bought it from Monsanto. What happened is near him, there was a guy growing genetically modified corn. It cross-pollinated, and believe it or not, the Canadian judicial system fined this guy $80,000. I don't think he made $80,000 in 2 years. Now, the good news is he was an old-school farmer. You know, he didn't care how big the government was and how scary this whole proposition was. He started to yell and scream about it and put it in the farm news, and the organic movement got behind him, and they went back, and they reversed that finding. But how many of you know that dozens and dozens of farms every single day in your country of the United States are being wiped out by these people's special interests for the intent of taking that land and converting it to seeds that they have control over? How many of you know that wonderful people that we all think are great, like Bill Gates, is in bed and actually supporting these type of movements when he actually is in great part funding a fortress that's on an island, a Norwegian island off the coast of Europe, where they have 85% of the original seeds? So the guy who has the key to
that... There are seed banks that people are now starting to establish.
Well, thank God. A handful of wee organic types are doing that. But when they have the original seeds for over 85%, the guy who has a key to that is scary. Yes, we should capture. Yes, there's people like Johnny Seeds in Abion, Maine, and Seeds for Change, and you should support these people. And anyone listening out there that think of yourself as emotionally clear and conscious that are not eating organic plant-based foods, shame on you. Because
you know, it took me all summer to find a watermelon that had seeds in it. You cannot, even in the health food stores, you cannot. They were all seedless. Are those GMO'd?
No, some are and some aren't. Watermelons are basically not touched at this point. know, a lot of the crops are like summer squash, zucchinis, yellow squash. They're genetically modified. You know, tomatoes we spoke about, et cetera. But there's a lot of these, like fish. How many of you remember the Frankenfish issue, where they finally allowed fish to be genetically modified recently? I mean, this is so bizarre. It's like somebody made this up, and it was a bad C-rated movie. But sadly, you're living it without even knowing it, most of the listeners out there.
Wow. So you're saying just because people are waking up, people are going to have a huge revolution and reaction against that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but the revolution, this is going to be a revolution where they've got the guns, they've got the bombs, they've got the espionage, they've got the NSA. It's going to be a love revolution. It's going to be the same kind of revolution that you saw Mahatma Gandhi pull off to get rid of the evil empire there that ruled the world for 400 years, and he did it with complete love and peace, and he didn't raise his hand. And he didn't fight back. And the way that you heal is through love. The way I see people reverse disease and prevent disease and stay young and stay in great relationships and love the work they do is through love. And if you don't use love, the most powerful, most incredible emotion that we have at our fingertips, that wipe everything else, it's a tsunami versus anthills compared to everything else. Hate is an anthill. Love is a tsunami. And if you don't understand that, and love yourself enough that you get that you have the power and shut off the negative channel and put on the positive channel over here, you're going to be part of the problem.
So that is what you're coming to New York on 9/11. I guess you chose that day to kind of make a point, didn't you?
Well, not only to make a point, but come back to my old hometown and to give it a little love and a little support and say everything's okay. And as I pointed out earlier in the show, you know, things are growing. Flowers are growing out of such a horrific event as that. And don't let anyone fool you that doesn't ever have to happen again if we change as people.
Well, this is the time. I mean, we are down to the wire. I mean, the war clouds are gathering. People are getting sick. You know, these Monsanto is almost in total control. It has to happen now. It looks like this is really the final hour.
Well, it's happening. Remember this. You have Washington State that vaguely didn't pass a law, and we were part of it. They spent 9 times more money than we did in California. It's going to come back up again. Vermont just passed a bill up here in the New England area. You're going to see, slowly but surely. There's more organic farmers in the state of Maine now than any other kind of farmers. If you see the book, it's endless. It's 50 pages, little tiny print of organic farmers. It is coming. Don't worry. Don't get stuck in New York City and listening to, you know, news and thinking that that's the world. The world is changing, and if you can change yourself, you're going to be part of that process and be proud of being part of that process.
Well, thank you, Brian. Brian's coming to New York with a lecture called Transforming the American Diet. He'll be at the Sue Booth Center, which is 230 West 29th Street in New York City. That's September 11th, 9/11. And you can go to realhealthnewyork.eventbrite to get tickets. I'd love to continue this conversation at some point. I know you're traveling today, but is there any final words you really think people need to know?
Yeah, well, number one, thank you for having me here, and I'm happy there's shows like yours all over the world now. And what I think you need to know is that you have everything that you need already in your possession. And I know it's hard for you to believe that because starting even with your loving parents, as I had, they convinced you that you were not complete, that you were not whole, that you were missing something. When you came here, you were God. You had perfection. There was nothing you couldn't do. And then you let the social normality start to chisel away at your spirit and at your hope. And deep down inside of you, just reach down inside of you and look back at those joyous moments you remember in your life. That's who you really are. And if you can render up that strength from that joy, your life is going to transform, and it happens almost instantaneously.
Thank you, Brian. I look forward to seeing you this week. And thanks for all your hard work, because I know it's not just a pastime for you. This is something you've dedicated your life to and are living and are totally passionate about, and we need more people to do this, to live this way, and to speak out. So thank you again, and I look forward to seeing you.
You will.
Okay. That's Brian Clement. from the Hippocrates Institute. He's the director of the Hippocrates Institute. This is New Realities, and stay tuned.